flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Alex, can you just take us through how this materialized, you know, when he was on your radar, how it got to this point to where it made sense to make this deal?
Yeah, we assessed the free agent market, trade market, beginning of the offseason, you know, based on last year, of course. You know, we had Jurickson as the second best free agent bat, just based off the season last year. That's how good we thought he played and performed. And look, off seasons, there's so many different areas you can make your team better. You know, you guys have asked me in the past, you know, is there one specific area you could, we had room in the rotation, bullpen, and to get a bat. So we never go into an off season with, you know, we have to do X. It's, you know, what deal makes the most sense for us. And look, getting a switch hit bat with on-base skills and contact skills. And look, we really buy into, he made some significant swing changes from 23 to 24 with his lower half, added a leg lift, opened up a stance a little. His exit velocities are up quite a bit. And if you look at his career, he's always been talented and number one prospect. And, you know, the walk rate's always been there. The strikeout rate's always been there. He's had some decent seasons at times, and then he's had some rough seasons. But, you know, the only part of his game that hasn't come is power. And, you know, you look at the results last year, then you start to dig a little more. And, you know, we talked to him as well, and you just start doing more work. And if you're, you know, if you think it's sustainable or if you're buying in, and look, over the years, I've just seen, and I'm not saying he's these players by any stretch, but I've seen guys like Justin Turner, who was with the Orioles and the Mets, and, you know, made some changes with his swing and incorporate more of his lower half. I've seen Jose Bautista be a utility guy, make some changes with his swing, incorporate his lower half. I've seen Josh Donaldson do the same thing. And by no means am I saying is he the same player, but you know, this guy had all the ingredients. And I think tapping into some power was the one piece that was going to elevate his bat. And so, look, I clearly, we made a, you know, what we feel is a very strong commitment to him. And, you know, we believe that what he did last year is who he is going forward.
Alex, did you, does Acuna's status give you some time to let Kelenic kind of know, hey, you got a month or so, whatever it takes to kind of show what you can do? I mean, he's had a whole season, but will this give him a little more time to show what he's done in the offseason and the spring and where he is?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've said Acuna will not be ready for opening day. And the one thing we've needed, at least in the last, really since 21, we've needed outfielders every year. Every trade deadline, we have to add outfielders. We were always short. And knowing Ronald is going to miss the start of the year, you know, we don't have an ETA on him yet as we get closer. We'll have that. He's doing well, but look, and as guys come back, you don't know, they're going to need days off. How are they going to feel?
Right.
You know, you have to protect for 6 months and so on. And look, that's guy coming off an injury. We've had injuries the last few years, Harris has had injuries the last two seasons, significant injuries. Jared's been a guy that could back up in center field for us. So, Jared's still got to come in and compete for a job. He knows that. But, it always works out. I don't think we've been through a season with three outfielders ever since I've been here. I think there's always been a need, outfield depth has been a concern for us. One way or the other, we've added guys on NRI deals and 40-man deals and things like that. But, it works out. I mean, having too many good players would be a wonderful problem to have. And especially with, some injuries we've had in the past, we're going to try to protect ourselves over 6 months and hopefully beyond if we can get to the playoffs.
You always say that signing guys like getting married, you got to be sure of him. What kind of guy are you getting in the clubhouse? Because you kind of see his energy from afar and what he brings.
Yeah, we did a lot of work on that. And, I think biggest thing is you're trying to find the sweet spot for years and dollars and everything else and fit and everything else and the energy he brings and so on. And we spoke to a lot of people about him. So we think he'll be a great fit for us. And, we're just excited as well. Just the fit in our lineup on our team. Look, we're going to have guys that have rough patches, rough stretches, slumps, guys that get hurt. Having that depth in the lineup, I don't want to speak for Snit, but, we went into last season with thinking guys like Orlando would hit 8-9. You're now in that spot where, right now with everyone healthy, you're looking at him in the nine hole, and, 1 through 8 is a lot of really established guys that have a chance to be very, very strong. So, we had a prolific offense in 23 and the other years, I think with some regression back to the mean health, you love the fact that there's contact and on base and switch hit and so on. It just, it's a really perfect complement and fit to our team. Look, the other piece to it too, is it's a durable player, played 158 games last year. And, it's a lot of games. We have guys like Matt Olson playing 162, but you get up there, that speaks to makeup, the ability to grind and be able to post. And when you factor in, he played during the winter, then into the season, 158, then into the postseason. So that's, you guys know, we look at the games played column as well. So that's all part of the decision-making and having, again, this type of bat, this type of complement to the lineup. It made a whole lot of sense for us.
You probably checked with Ozzie Albies about him, right? I'm assuming.
I've talked to Ozzie about him in the past. So okay. I talked to some of our guys, but he's been in the league a long time. So there's a lot of different people that have been around him, played with him and so on. So like we would with any player, we do a lot of our work there. Once we're past that part, then it's a matter of, can we come together on a contract? So we stayed in contact and really came together pretty fast, but finally, we were able to get to a spot that the deal made sense for us.
How important was it to add a guy who has great plate discipline to that lineup? I mean, 2023, you had better plate discipline than you did last year. So it's not like it's not there, but just to have that daily reminder, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's on base and it's contact, and now we think he's added some power. I mean, whether you're into this kind of stuff, this was over a 4-win player last year. And, the optimist would be us in saying, look, we think he's found something. We believe in these swing changes. We think this is who he can be going forward. Someone on the other side, glass half empty, say, well, it's 1 year, and that's the risk you take with these things, right? So you guys know a lot of times we're upside players. We're going to look at things sometimes and, we feel philosophically what makes sense for us is maybe to take on a little bit more risk, tap in a little bit more upside. That allows us to build the best 26 man. But look, we have a lot of power. There's no doubt about that. But having more left-handed bats, and look, you love the fact that there's no platoon scenario. He is durable. It makes it tough on the other side of the lineup. Especially with the different hitters we have, and where I spoke to Snit today about where he thought he would hit him, and that just curious, but we'll see. I mean, especially with Ronald out at the beginning, but he gives you a lot of options. because he walks, but now he's got some power, makes contact, left, right, durable, just really changes the complexion of our lineup across the board. And look, if guys get hurt or go down or slump, you're just that much deeper overall.
That 380 OBP and 100 strikeouts with power and high average is kind of unheard of today. I mean, you just don't see many.
It's rare. Yeah. And he's always had the on base and the contact and all that. He just, the power hadn't come in, And then, you really start looking at the swing changes, and then you look at how the exit velocity spiked. It correlates. It makes sense. And then you talk to him about it and you have him walk you through it. And, it adds up. And I guess it's, look, it's a little different, but I remember when I was in Toronto and Jose Bautista had one big year and we gave him at the time was a monster contract, and same thing. He's never done it before. It's a, one-time thing. And we bought into some of those swing changes, and, Josh Donaldson the same way. And even again, I brought up Turner, Justin Turner, to me, the profile was very similar with contact and on base, and then obviously he's a right-handed hitter. So, again, we had him based off last year, and we had him as the second best free agent bat to Juan Soto based off 2024. I know that's extremely high praise. I'm not saying he's that, but that's how good he was. And if you look at his career, the decision making, the on base, the contact, that's always been there. That's always been a part of his game. He just didn't necessarily hit the ball all that hard. And if you looked at his swing, it kind of correlated, and you see some of the changes he made. We believe that he's tapped into some power, and that's here to stay.
How do you view your corner outfield defense here to start the season before we come back?
Yeah, so look, Jurickson will be playing left. Harris will be playing center. And then we'll have a competition in right field. But, I told Jared, right now, knowing Ronald's not going to start, I mean, we're going to get him a lot of reps in right field. He's got the range and the arm strength to play all three. And obviously he's played a lot of left field, and he knows he back up in center and so on. But, that doesn't, guys like Brian De La Cruz will come in and compete as well, but he has options. And we'll see if some other guys come into camp, if we bring anybody else in. But, we'll have those two, and it'll be a competition for right field. And Jared will have every opportunity, to be that guy with the defense and the left-handed bat. But he knows that he's going to have to earn it, and Snit will make those calls.
After this signing, how much room does that leave you to kind of address pitching or something else you'd want to?
Leaves us exactly X number of $1 million. And look, I mean, it's the same kind of thing, right? We're just going to look for opportunities, and if the right opportunity presents itself, we'll do it. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we don't want to force deals that
you do.
I know it's round and round. We're just not going to force deals, right? So Profar at this price, at this contract, makes sense for us, right? So there's plenty of really good players that we like, a lot of them, trade, free agency, but you're trying to get the right fit. So, like I said, I think I mentioned on radio interview or something like that, but now it won't surprise me if we're still talking to people into spring training. It's the way things are going. We're almost into the month of February. So we'll continue to see if something comes up that makes sense. We'll do it.
We all look at the defensive metrics, but at the same time, we all know that defensive metrics can be deceiving.
Right.
Can you kind of tell me what, I guess my question was, how good do you feel about, let's say you have Profar in left and Kelnick in right to begin the season?
Yeah, look, I think Kelnick and Harris are pluses, right? I think Profar is very solid in left field. We've identified some things. We think there's still some upside there. We'll see. He knows that. I mentioned to him that we think there's still another level he can get to defensively. He hasn't played that much outfield. Obviously he came up as an infielder and so on, but we did some work on that, and we'll see. And he's obviously willing to put in the work and the time and all that. So we think there's some upside there. He can get better, but we think he's solid. And we think we've got Gold Glove caliber guys. If Jared's the right fielder, he certainly can play a Gold Glove right field. It's as good an arm as you're going to find. And he's got speed and range and everything else. And obviously, I think Mike will eventually win a Gold Glove. So we feel good about it.
Alex, De La Cruz and Kelenic have options, right?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, yep.
Yep.
All right.
Once Dave asks the last question, all right.
I was going to say, anything else meeting. For Alex tonight?
Leave meeting. Click.
You still got money then to go out and pursue either a starter or a reliever if you so choose to do?
I mean, we did so choose all winter. We just haven't been able to get it done. So we have we've discussed both. Engaged with both, and it the conversations ended with only discussions and engagement and no deal. So look, we have room to add both. As I've said in the past, we're going to if we do something in the rotation, I think it's going to be something that we think is makes sense to block guys like Holmes and Anderson. Granted, they have to make the team. They're out of options. But, we have to think that's, clear cut the way to go. And, they could then be in the bullpen.
Right.
I'd say, look, in the bullpen, you always have room, right? You can always create room and so on. So I have no idea. But, bullpen, that things happen, spring training, Nick Anderson made the team out of spring and then was our setup guy, right, for half of the season. Then he got hurt, but he was all-world incredible for us. So we added Pierce Johnson at the deadline or just before the deadline in 23, and he was incredible. So Daysbill Hernandez the last month or so was taking down big-time innings and doing great. So, we might sign for someone. We might trade for someone. We might have some people emerge, but I think that's always evolving. We're not locked into one area. If there's a good starter deal, we'll do it. Trade, free agent signing, or a bullpen deal the same way, but we're not close to anything. But we're still having conversations about both.
What do you hear about Strider on his off season?
I think he threw his fourth bullpen today or yesterday or tomorrow. He's up to four, I think. So he's doing well. He's doing well, and he will come into spring having a normal spring, barring no changes from here to that time. That said, normal spring in terms of timing, I can't tell you innings and games and all that kind of stuff. I can tell you we've made the decision ahead of time with him and Ronald. They will not be on the opening day roster. But we're still, 2-3 weeks away from getting to camp and another month away, I guess, from games. So we'll see how that goes. And the beauty of spring training is Snick gets to do media with you guys every day. Mm. You guys will get a chance to ask him. So, but he's doing well. He's doing well. I mean, look, being up to that many bullpens at this point is a really good thing. But we'll just continue to take it day by day. But he will not, be on the opening day roster with Ronald. We've decided that's at this moment in time not the best course of action, and we'll just monitor and see how things go throughout the spring.
You joked, right, if I can get one.
That looks like a comfortable chair, couch.
Thank you.
Sit right
you,
back.
You joked at the start about hearing it everywhere about the quiet off season. We're what, 3 weeks away, and if you've got this guy ranked as your number two free agent vet, did you kind of feel an increased sense of, if not pressure, importance on making this happen?
Yeah, I think God, how many years I've been. I think this is year 7 years in six Toronto. So I had completed 13 seasons as a GM. And I feel like I've been through so many different off seasons, and I've been through the splashy off seasons, winning the off season, quiet one, this and that. I mean, at the end of the day, what matters is once the season starts and the wins and losses and all that. So, you just can't get up and you can't get caught up in that kind of stuff. I get it. It's a long off season. People want to see activity. You see our competitors doing stuff. And we have a lot of players under contract. We made a lot of signings. You know, we have a lot of people already, positions a lot already spoken for. You love to build the perfect team and fill every hole. But again, you start forcing a long-term deal. Yeah, 6 months from now, you're looking to potentially get out of it or trade out of it, or there's an opportunity cost because you can't go sign other players or trade for other players because position spoken for. So you want to make the team better, but you just really can't, you can't let outside factors influence your decision-making, because once the game starts, I've been part of winning the offseason, everyone's excited. Team doesn't play well, people forget about the offseason. No one cares, right? So it's all about results at the end of the day. Look, I remember people were very concerned with the Chris Sale trade at the time, and I totally got it. And I would have told you guys if we were that smart, he's going to win a Cy Young, right? But once the season started, everyone's pleased with it. And if he didn't do well, then I would have heard about it. So you just can't react to the offseason. It's not productive.